All right, everyone, welcome in. We have a big episode of Inside City Limits ahead of us today. Massive, some would say, that someone being Mike. We have two games to discuss. We have a recap from Saturday's loss against San Diego. Did we ever decide on a name for the team that we're playing on Wednesday? I know we talked about it.
The Royals.
We did pick one, and then these last 3 weeks, we have consistently said KC the entire time, so I don't think that matters.
Okay, so it doesn't really matter. Well, we're playing Sporting Kansas. We'll say that. We won't say the other part. So we're going to preview that game as well. I'm going to be honest. I have not watched a second of the game from Saturday. Trevor and I were at Backlash, so I was kind of hoping that Jack, Mike, you guys could kind of tell us what happened. I know Trevor watched the highlights. I did a little bit, but
I watched the first half.
It's going to be mainly you two on the recap. We'll kind of. I want to ask some questions because from what it's, you guys made it seem like it wasn't that bad of a performance. Like we dominated the first half and just again couldn't finish. But besides that, it looked good.
I honestly think if we have Kessler, we get 3 points.
Yeah, I think we totally outplayed San Diego. It was just the same problem we've had all year, man. We just cannot finish the ball. And it was just, I wouldn't say it was more frustrating than anything I've ever seen, but it was definitely frustrating to watch over and over again.
And Trevor and I were kind of keeping up with the scoreline, and you know, every now and then between a match or, you know, if the match was getting boring, I'd look and it was 0-0. 0-0 the whole time. Just didn't seem like much was going on. And then I watched the highlights, and it's like we had multiple chances. San Diego hit a post. Like, it just felt like it was always on edge, and then nothing was going through until finally the dam broke, and then it was 2-0. Seemed like.
Yeah, it went from 0-0 to 2-1 real quick.
You know, Olof seemed to disregard his tactical style, it kind of felt like. I don't know if, Mike, you think the same, but we looked closer to how we played in 2023 with that really high, aggressive press. And it just, you know, when you watch it, you're kind of like, I guess that's what this roster is built for, because that's how that's what they wanted to play when they built the roster, because played great those first 25 minutes, just couldn't get the ball across the goal line.
Which, you know, and we've been asking for him to kind of switch to that style of play, but when I saw at least that they were, that's the kind of play they're going for, the high press attacking, and it was working, it made me question his lineup at that point, because, you know, imagine Celia or Silva out there, instead of, because he had Horn and Watts start as the wingbacks. And then Wallen actually played midfield.
Oh, that's good. I saw Watts had a good rating.
Yeah, but my point is, when you're doing the type of play that we saw and that was, like I said, was working, you don't want to see Horn and Watts when we have Celio and Silva on the bench. Jaden Reed was on the bench as well. I think it would have been a much better for that style of play. Would have been better than Horn. I would have liked to see Horn in the center back position instead of someone else. You can tell by the ratings who I'm talking about.
Yeah, we'll get to the ratings. I wrote those down. Do you think that's just because of the schedule? Like, there's so many games in such a short amount of time.
I think he's trying to rotate the A team for Wednesday,
as he should.
Yeah, I think the reason we didn't see Leuven and Berkey is because that one team's coming to
visit. As you should, but it fully did cost us 3 points here. Because if we had rolled out the B-plus team, I think we get 3 points.
I feel like Celio's got to start every game.
I think Celio and Silver start Wednesday, but we'll get into that later.
But I also wrote that down.
It's just I mean, that's something I've been harping on Olof about. I actually really loved his subs because it was all the people he should have started. It was Betcher, Reed, Sylvan, and Celio. That's the only time I would have loved all the subs, but some of it made sense, and the lineup was not one that made sense to me.
The only thing I didn't like about the subs was, you know, we subbed Horn off. Horn and who is it? Horn, Ostrock, and Klaus all came off at the same time. Yep. For Reed, Betcher, and Silva. And you could tell they moved to more of an attack, I would say. And it just left Yarrow and Hebert out on an island, and it led two goals in pretty... I mean, I think they subbed them in, like, the 70th, 71st area, and then their first goal was in the 79th. So it was... It just kind of felt like the wrong move at that point.
I feel like that's a hindsight take, because at that point, I was like... We are this close to scoring, you know, put on the offensive guys. And, you know, when he takes off Bumgarnel for Celio, that was after they scored their first goal, I think, though.
Yeah.
And then, but then, like, right after that, they scored another one.
You know, I'm not even making a joke. I'm not even trying to be a hater right now. If you're going for a goal, do you really want to sub Betcher on with how he's been playing? Especially when it puts Betcher and Toyshirt up top. I mean, we've complained all year about how bad those two are.
Toyshirt looked way more dangerous than Klaus. This is something me and Jeff talked about extensively, because he has the opposite opinion of that. But to me, Klaus did not look dangerous at all. Toyshirt looked a lot more dangerous. So I think the Betcher for Klaus decision was right. I mean, if you're going to put Betcher on, there's really no one else I think you should take off.
Yeah, I just Toyshirt did. I think he had one shot on target, and it was the one from half field in the first half.
I mean, but Klaus's shot on target was less dangerous than some of Toyshirt's misses, in my opinion. Klaus basically passed it back to the goalie.
We've had three arguments about it in the two days since the game.
And
I'd rather see someone for the pod just wide than someone push shot on target that just has no chance because it went right to the goal. Yeah, but if
it's not on target, it has even less of a chance because it just can't go in.
I fully disagree.
He shot one behind the goal. It never even hit the side of the net. It went all the way behind the goal.
And how many did he shoot that missed it by a foot?
I mean, if you're talking about the whole season, that's all he's done all year.
Yeah, well, but Klaus's was like a 20-mile-per-hour dribbler that...
And one river bounce, and that's a goal.
I could have. But
that's not what you want from your highest-paid striker.
From your fan-favorite star player.
From one of the dudes taking our designated player spot.
I mean, the whole attack at this point, I'd be okay replacing.
I will stand firm
that you have a better shot at scoring if your ball's on target.
Not if it's like Klaus.
I'm kind of.
I would rather
middle.
See someone hit it with some pace, just wide, than no pace, hoping that it takes a weird hop.
Not to completely change the subject. I was just thinking of the attackers. I think Olaf should put a permanent ban on Hartel taking a corner kick. I don't think that guy's put a single corner in a dangerous position all year.
Just waiting for three
corners, I want to say. I could be wrong on that, but they were either too long, way wide, or... not even to anybody. It was just like, why is he taking the corners?
Did we score off the corner?
On Saturday, they had six corners.
So our last one in the corner, was it a free kick?
Or the Hebert's goal?
The Hebert goal.
I think it was a free kick. It said
okay.
How did we talk about that?
That's what I'm most excited for with Lubin coming back is I think we'll look dangerous on set pieces again.
I've got a take on that in the guessing game later. We can talk about.
Well, now that we've brought it up, it is my time. I would like you guys to all mute your microphones here.
All right, Mike is going on mute.
Before we do that, Because you're gonna go. Can we talk about the yellow cards at the end real quick? Because I know you're gonna go on for a bit, and we got to get into the review or the preview too. So
we got to let Jack have his moment, though.
I'm a little bit mute, but that should be the last thing we talk about for the game.
Yeah, because it's gonna be a lengthy one. I feel
the ref just lost control of the game after we scored.
Oh, 100%. He let that guy lay on the ball for 2 minutes.
He let him lay on the ball, no card. Bumgarner got a card from the bench.
Did
Olaf get a card too?
Yeah, Olaf got a card before Bumgarner.
I thought Olaf was going to get a red because after he got his yellow, the ref continued to not start play, and Olaf got back on the field yelling
at him. Yeah, the ref showed Olaf the yellow, telling him to sit down. Olaf complied. Then the ref just walked away and nothing was going on, and Olaf immediately was back up on to his feet yelling at the referee.
That's hilarious.
I didn't know too much. Showed another yellow, and Mike and I were like, is Olaf gone? Did he just give Olaf a second yellow? But it was then it panned over to Bumgarner standing up screaming.
Bumgarner yelled at the ref. I'm just confused with what Bumgarner got a card for, because I'm pretty sure he was sitting down when he got the card. And he only stood up after to yell at the ref. And he also looked very confused as to why he got shown the yellow.
Yeah.
I've never seen a ref lose a game in the after the 93rd minute.
And the worst part was the guy who was laying on the ball did not get a yellow card.
Nope.
For time wasting. Made no sense whatsoever.
Is that a big MLS, Trevor? At it again?
Yeah, I wasn't going to chime in right away about big MLS, but it definitely is.
Okay, that's all I had to say about the
referee situation
last night. So I'll go ahead and mute up for this, whatever this is. I might
definitely. Yep, I'll mute up. Yeah. Well, no, I'm going to mute up, though.
It has finally occurred. The moment that we have all been waiting for, Kyle Hebert has scored a goal. Now, I know you're thinking it's just one goal, but with his assist earlier in the year, he is now one of our best offensive players all year long in total goal contributions. This man has played 1,000 minutes across 13 games. He has been the rock, the foundation that the only reason this team does not have 9 consecutive losses. And I just can't believe that I wasn't there to get him at man of the match and the goal scorer. It is one of the biggest regrets of my life. I'm so proud of my boy. I feel like a father. And I just, if you think this man doesn't belong on this team, then I think you should go watch another MLS franchise. Because Kyle Hebert is here to stay. Kyle Hebert bleeds City red. He is St. Louis City FC. That is all. Thank you.
Should we each go around and give either our favorite comment of that spiel or maybe one that we have questions on? Because I certainly have some.
He's also second in points if you want to do hockey style.
That is crazy. I wasn't saying anything was wrong with what he said, but the biggest surprise from that was that he is actually one of our biggest contributors this year because of how little offense we've had all season.
One goal, one assist.
Also only one of two players to have 1,000 minutes. Hartel obviously being the other. He tends to play the full 90 every game.
You know what I saw on Twitter or on X, Cole, that I thought was funny?
Yeah.
I saw a bunch of City fans mad that he wasn't a part of the team of the match day. And I held my tongue. But I want to be like, oh, no. 2 weeks ago it was get this guy off the team. Now you're mad that he's not on the match day. You don't deserve him at his best when you weren't there for him at his worst.
Everybody's starting to come around all of a sudden on Kyle Hebert.
He really didn't make team of the match day?
He did not. He was not.
Even as a sub?
No.
Yeah.
That's kind of wild. A defender that scored a goal didn't make it?
What was also wild is Jack saying that he feels like a proud father when Kyle Hebert is the same age. He's 27.
I'm 28.
You're older than.
Yeah, like a father is older than a son.
By a year. He was born in 97. Hey,
you just killed any chance we had of him coming on this
podcast. He is St. Louis City SC.
He is. He bleeds city red, a color unused by any other team in the.
I do think that. We know Kyle Hebert. I do think he's been good. Anything else from Saturday before we move on to what really matters? The midweek clash.
Wallen was the best player on the pitch Saturday. I would like to see him more in that midfield spot, especially with Leuven coming back, so Leuven could take that defensive role. I know we all love to see Leuven up on tack, but if we have Wallen doing that instead of Leuven, I think we'll be happier.
I think my one takeaway that I would say is that I'm kind of disappointed in Ostrock. I think he's been given the last two games as kind of a chance to carve out a place for himself in this team, and I think he's kind of disappeared in those two chances.
Kind of the opposite of Celio. I feel like when he came on, he made such an impact, you kind of had to include him, you had to play him.
When you were watching the game in real time, he just kind of disappeared into the background. And I really wish he would have grabbed one of those, carved out a spot for him on the team. But I just don't think he's taking advantage of those opportunities.
Also, as somebody who didn't watch the game and just looked at the numbers and the player ratings, Josh Yarrow didn't have himself a good day. 5-4 overall.
I've said all I want to say about Josh Yarrow.
Both goals kind of led. He was responsible for both of San Diego's goals, it seems like.
Great locker room presence, I hear.
Especially the second one was pretty bad. Just a brick foot of a touch leading to a half brick.
Yeah. Keeps the boys in the locker room happy.
It doesn't keep me happy.
Yeah, two of the last three MLS games, I'll say. I think you can trace three of the goals we've given up straight back to Josh Yarrow.
I'm glad Berkey's back because Lon has worn out his welcome. Also didn't play too well.
Yeah, it's about that time, though, and I think that we will see him this week. You know, you guys could have been down the street watching the last real champion at Backlash, and you decided to watch that, the Josh Yarrow Masterclass, instead.
Rickets.
Hi, Trevor. I was waiting for Trevor. Trevor wanted Randy Orton to win.
Yeah, Randy Orton should have won. St. Louis legend.
He's from St. Louis, you know that?
Yeah, well, he is. And it was rigged because he won that match. The ref was knocked out for some reason. It's crazy.
Funny, though, Trevor, I remember John Cena walking out with the belt. Like, he won the match.
He didn't, though. But whatever.
Okay, whatever. Yeah, it's not a wrestling podcast. Midweek clash. It's a big one. It's the mid-off. Sporting versus City. Both at 10 points on the year. Both with a -5 goal differential. Low-scoring attempts. Low on-target attempts. We need a name for this mid-off. Jack, I think you had some suggestions or some things that you like.
Can I ask you guys a question really quick first? So they both have 10 points, -5 goal difference. Would you rather have 2 wins, 4 draws, scored 9 and let in 14, or have 3 wins, 1 draw, scored 17 and let in 22?
I guess I'd rather be where we're at, not giving up 22 goals. But, yeah. I mean, it does still. I'd rather have KC's. Really? You'd rather have 17 goals?
Forget we came into this season expecting that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true. I don't know. It's a lot, though. And we think, man, that's a lot of goals that they've given up 22. Well, we couldn't score one against them last time.
Especially if Berkey still gets hurt in this scenario. I think it's an easier bullet to bite. When you have 17 goals,
it's the mid off. battling for last place. Jack, what was your... Because I had the I-70 Derby. We had looks another
like
one. Like
mid-off.
Yeah, I honestly, like if I could... Times. All right. I'm going to go ahead and mute like Jack's keep speech.
I like the middle.
I saw a little bit of a discussion on Twitter with our best friend of all time, Matt Baker. About what to call the rivalry, because I don't think people are really excited when people call it the I-70 Derby. So I saw him throwing around the Derby queue, and I wanted to see if you guys preferred that one. You know, if we get a podcast stance on it.
I don't hate it. I don't love it. Isn't I don't know. Just kind of sounds force...
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it just sounds off to me. But I like it, though, because St. Louis Barbecue. I know everybody thinks Kansas City's famous for their barbecue and that it's so much better than St. Louis, which is incorrect. But I just don't know if, like...
I don't think so.
I just don't think that's
Kansas City barbecue a great name. Good.
Jay, hey. Zip it.
Pretty good.
Shut up. Not this week. You can't say that.
Yeah, I'm not eating any this week, but in
but I don't have a better idea weeks. Than that.
And Derby isn't the MLS trying to force like the Heartland Derby or something? You know what
I see. I always heard the Heartland Derby, but I've heard it the first year that we were a team, and I haven't heard it since.
Yeah, because it's terrible.
It's a little too on the nose.
I like that better than Darby.
Some nerd in an office building thought of that.
I mean, that's almost like calling it the Missouri Derby.
What did you say, Cole?
I said, I'm with the nerd. I think that's better than
the Heartland Derby.
Better than Darbecue.
Hey, dude, it's such a lame, like, PR name for a rivalry.
Cole, what can I sell you on the Ms. Derby? Because it sounds like Missouri.
But they're in Kansas.
Oh, that's true. I'm not going to lie to you. I did forget about that. That they don't actually play in the great state of Missouri.
I think it's mid-off. I'll say it again.
Yeah, but what happens next year when we're a perennial playoff contender?
Then it sounds like it'll be the Heartland Derby again.
Such a dumb PR name. I can't tell you how much I hated that when they tried to make that a thing.
I feel like you guys will hate random shit like that. I feel like it's not that bad.
No, it's such a, like, they're trying to make it that, like, in my opinion, let it have its own. Like, let it create its own.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be something right out the gate.
It needs to be natural. It can't be forced like that. I do understand that. It's just funny to be like, I fucking hate the name Heartland Derby. I will never call it the Heartland Derby.
I honestly will never call it that. They tried to force it to be that. And like I said, if that had been what ended up being called naturally, I wouldn't have an issue with it. But when Bing MLS tells me to call it that, no thank you.
Yeah, I'm not listening to that.
Well, we can get into the actual match regardless of what it's called. We kind of talked about it earlier, like with the lineup we saw against San Diego, we were kind of reserving some players for this match on Wednesday night. I'm hoping we see Celio Silva out on the wings, or at least, you know, up in those forward spots. I'm hoping we see Leuven, maybe even Berkey. I mean, that would be an incredible match to return to. That's a big, big stage, and I would love to see it, but I don't want him to rush either. I don't know.
I think they've been pretty patient with Berkey. I think it's time to put him back in and unleash him. I did see that they were expecting that they said Durkin could be available sooner than they thought.
Oh, that's interesting.
But I don't think he's going to be available for this game. Obviously,
it really seemed like Berkey was going to be last week or for last game. For San Diego, and they just decided to give him another game to rest.
Which I know we talked about it at length last time. I'm totally fine with letting him rest and play on Wednesday. Hopefully he does play, because I think you... I don't know, this two San Diego goals, I don't think there's much Lunt could do, but if you don't use him there and costing us points, it had to be for saving him for this week, because I don't know why you wouldn't play him at one of these two games if he's ready.
Yeah, you got to play him against Kansas City if he's ready.
That's going to be so sick. I'm so excited for this game. I feel bad. I'm definitely bailing on that concert, but you got to go to this game and not go to this game.
Are you in the press box this week? I will be in GA.
Fans. I may be in the press box. If you guys all get tickets, I'd get GA.
Me, Connor, Kara. I guess I shouldn't just be naming out everybody going with.
They don't know these people.
Yeah, sorry. But yeah, if the full podcast
will be in attendance, I will be in the GA.
I will
be at the Crafty Chameleon in Ellis. Shout out Crafty Chameleon, best pizza in the St. Louis County area. So I will not be in attendance.
Are you trying to force a sponsorship?
Friends of the show.
If they sponsored us, I would be honored. I'm more shout out because I love
ask them. Ask them while you're there.
Are you actually going there instead of the city game?
Yes.
I kind of thought that was a bit. I don't know why.
I don't joke about the Crafty Chameleon.
Okay, well, shout out the Crafty Chameleon. Well, so maybe I'll be in the press box, Trevor. Maybe I'll be in the press box.
All right.
All or nothing. All or nothing.
Anybody else you ever want to see? I'll segue into the lineup game because I just want to know if you had any other kind of weird out of left field lineups you want to see. Maybe some players in some odd spots.
What if we see a Nilsson start? A Nilsson return to the lineup. I'd like to see Wallen.
I'm fine with that.
Have you guys not seen the news about Nilsson?
Oh, God.
Is this a bit? Are you working
this
a bit now?
This is not a bit. Nilsson re-injured his knee.
That's not true.
Guessed?
I don't believe you.
There's no way.
What's your source on that?
If you give me a second, I can find the tweet.
I don't know if I believe
to send
you.
It in our group text, but I didn't want to hear all the jokes. So,
so you
keep talking, and I'll see if I can find it.
He didn't want to give us some time to formulate some. Did Tolland get hit with the Klaus injury? I haven't heard a peep from them about him.
Yeah, I don't know either. Was he? He was in the availability report is out last week, but yeah, we haven't gotten any updates.
Okay, I've found it.
God.
This was Matt Baker at 10:12 p.m.
After the game. That means it's true.
Olaf said that Leuven missed tonight for personal reasons, but Nilsson is experiencing pain in the same knee he's been dealing with, and they are unsure how much time he may miss.
Dude, get it over with.
Leuven wasn't with the team last night for personal reasons.
That worries me a little bit.
Was that just for the game, or is he?
He made it. I mean, the way it's worded, it kind of seemed like it was just the game. That's why he wasn't on the bench.
Well, I think I'm gonna go ahead and change one of my predictions because I definitely had a Leuven goal scorer that I'm gonna take off.
Well, hopefully it was one of those where he didn't plan on playing anyway, and that's why he was also gone. Then they just say for personal reasons because we really need Leuven for this Wednesday game. We'll see.
But
hopefully we don't have a long hiatus again with him.
Yeah, but
we can't gloss over the Nilsson thing.
Leuven was not on the injury report like the Friday before the game, like the availability report. He wasn't on it.
So maybe he'll be there.
So I'm thinking so maybe something popped up out of nowhere Saturday.
Well, we know it's for a good reason if it's why he was missing time previously. So there's nothing really you can complain about. But we can't gloss over the Nilsson thing either. I mean, rip the Band-Aid off and let
gloss
it go.
Over.
I mean, how many times can we
not expected?
Yeah,
how many times can we do?
You guys said it was going to happen. You guys should feel pretty good about yourselves right now.
I'm not going to cheer for anybody getting hurt.
Oh, no. You guys don't get to play the PR team now.
I'm not going to act like Nilsson's not made of glass.
Yeah, both.
Did you know that before he joined City. He only missed 5 total games in his career.
Jesus Christ. So, seriously, is it like our training team or like
I just think
physical
he,
staff? Like, what's
I think problem? That first year he did something to his knee and I think he rushed back and just never healed properly, and it's just been a problem ever since.
Let him go.
He's only got another year on his contract.
I wouldn't pay him another dime to
be honest. Well, what are you going to do to him? If you cut him loose, you got to pay him out. No one's going to buy him.
No one's certainly going to buy him.
You can play for City.
You might as well just keep him for a year and trade him. Maybe the knee will fix itself.
Try to get some game out of him.
Yeah, anything.
Would you guys trade him wherever he goes for a super draft pick?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Seriously, yeah.
But back to Mike's question, I would love a Zielinski start.
No.
I would love Zielinski and Reed on the wings.
No.
Yeah, I would. That I would.
Is not the time or the place.
Oh, yeah. Let's get Watson and Hebert back out there. Oh boy, that gets me excited. I love watching Akil Watts play soccer.
I thought he played well. He had a 7. Didn't he have like a 7-something rating?
But I've seen him too much, and we're only 11, 12. I'm tired of seeing Akil Watts.
I just think, I don't know. I don't think that Wednesday night is the time to play Zielinski or shake anything up.
He has our best goal of the season.
I don't know. I think if anything, you start him Saturday night. You don't start him Wednesday night.
I guess that's our Wednesday, so he's ready for that cup match next Wednesday.
Just only play him in the cup matches and see if he scores a cool goal every game.
Just a real quick go back to Jack's point about would I want a super draft pick for Nilsson? Absolutely. I miss Kojima every day.
Yeah, he had some promise.
And we could use Kojima right now with the injuries and I know Cole's happy to see him go, though. You know, Markanich has also scored in his last 2 games for Minnesota.
Wait, what does that mean? Why was I happy to see him go?
I remember you not being upset that we lost him.
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't think it would be that big of a deal. I mean, look at our central midfield. I thought we had plenty of bodies there. We wouldn't really need him.
I have to drive down to Barnes Jewish to see our central midfield right now. They're all hurt.
That was a good one. But yeah, like at the time, you're looking at Durkin, Leuven, Hartel. I mean, I don't know. I don't really. I didn't want to leave, but.
And Saturday we started Watson Wallum.
I like Wallum. Watts, I don't know. He's got speed. I'll give him that. He's quick on the wing, but that's about it.
I just think I'd rather have Zielinski and Reed out on the wings. That way you could put Horn back in central defense.
I would like a Reed start, but not a Zielinski start. Am I the only one who thinks
that? You want to watch Watts on the right wing again?
I just don't think that the biggest game of the year against your rival is the time to put in the dude who's played 10 minutes or however long he played. He played 1 game. Was he even playing in City 2 before? Like he
Zielinski? No, I think he's been with the team all year.
Yeah, so I mean, he's literally barely played.
He's got more first team minutes than Alm and Leuven. Maybe not losing. That might be
okay. Well, we're already talking about it. Let's just do the predicted lineup.
It's Berkey, guys.
It's Berkey for sure. I saw on FootMob it had it as a 4-3-3, and then on the Apple broadcast it had 3-4-3. I feel like the broadcast would be correct. That was what they ran 3-4-3.
It was the normal thing 3-4-3 that turns into a 5-2-3 that turns into a 4-3. I mean, it's just kind of Olaf's MO at this point. So, you know, 3-4-3 for 25 minutes, and then San Diego started to press, so it went to a 5-2-3. And then they made some subs and took some players off, and it turned into a 4-3-3.
So we're going Berkey and Ned. I think that we can lock that in. I think he's going to be back, which is incredible. That's exactly what we need right now.
Huge.
Yeah, lock it in.
Huge. Yeah, it's huge. It'll be I think it'll be a really big mental boost for the team.
Who's down in the yeah.
Communication to that back line, he's going to be – yeah, it's going to be great. Hebert, Bumgarner, Horn, center backs. Do we have any objections there?
You guys don't want to see Yarrow again?
No.
Not really.
great guy in the locker room, I hear.
I would – that would be – that would be a great back three with who we've got, especially with Nilsson back on the IR. So, yeah, no objections. I mean, I can really see Yarrow back in there, unfortunately. I hope not, but...
Oh, there's no way,
right? A little off topic, and we'll keep it short. I just have a question for Jack. How can you treat Krug like that, but defend Nilsson?
It's very off topic, well, but I want to hear the answer.
We don't pay Nilsson $6 million a year.
He's one of our highest paid players.
Yeah, but it's not six, you know?
Yeah, that's not fair, because no one gets paid that.
Well, it's real simple. Nilsson at least tries to play.
Krug doesn't?
Yeah, did Krug play a single game this year?
Yeah, very invasive surgery.
Yeah, and they think he's never going to play again. Yeah,
that was off topic. You gave a terrible answer.
Nilsson's played in three games this year. That's three more than Krug.
He's got a hurt in three games.
In 82 attempt or 82 possibilities.
That was a bad answer. So I saw Reed made an appearance. How long did he play? Like, do you think that he would be good enough to start?
He was like the 73rd minute subs.
I think he's
played
be
some
another...
in City too.
I hate to be that guy. I think we're seeing Watts on the right.
Yeah.
I agree, unfortunately.
The thing that I don't want to see, though, is I think we're going to get Horn on the left, and I just feel like it's going to be a Yarrow start in the back line. Because
if it's not,
Wallen plays too good in the middle.
Well, here's the thing with the middle is I think they're going to move Hartel back to the middle. And have Silva and Celio take the wings on the attacking, the forward wings.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like Hartel and Wallen will kind of fill the same role. You know, he likes to have one of the midfielders be up and one of them stay back. So I think we're going to see Wallen switch back over to the wing back.
I'd rather see that than... Yeah. Let's go Wallen. I think Wallen on the left.
And Watts on the right?
I guess, sadly.
Yeah, probably.
That's all we got. We're not playing Zielinski.
We've got Zielinski.
We're not playing Zielinski, dude. If Zielinski's in the starting lineup, I will send everybody on this podcast $5.
Here's the thing, though.
Ooh, lock that in.
That. Yeah, I will.
Whole $5?
Yeah, I will.
Man, I could get two bottles of soda for that.
Also, because of the injuries in our midfield that Cole says Kojima would do nothing for, I think Oshak's getting another start in the midfield. So really? I really can't think of, unless Leuven's available.
I think Leuven's
available. I think we put him in.
If Leuven's available, it's him. If not, it's Ostrock. Can we agree on that at least?
Yeah. I mean, with Morales out, you've got no other option.
It's Leuven, Hartel.
Yeah, I went ahead and put Silva, Klaus, Celio on our fours because I think we all want to see that.
That's what it should be. I don't know if it's what it will be, though. I could see Toyshirt getting another start.
I'd be fine with Teuscher getting another start. I don't know if he really deserves it, but
I would be fine with Teuscher instead of Betcher.
Yeah, as long as Betcher's not starting.
Yep.
I really want to see a Silva. Oh my god!
You want the Portuguese front three?
Yes. Silva, Klaus, Celio. Really, it's just I want to see those two on the outside, Silva and Celio. Yeah. I don't care.
I think we will, but I think we're going to watch Teuscher miss the broad side of the barn on Wednesday.
We got to start thinking of nicknames for those three if they end up doing well.
Might have to ask our Brazilian listeners if they have any ideas. Got to be something there.
Something I just can't. I was trying to think of one right now, and I just can't.
Got to be. I mean, if we're gonna ask the Brazilians, you know, it'll probably end up being an inside joke that we don't get.
So they laugh at us.
Yeah, we're gonna. I mean, if it's a Portuguese word, we're gonna have to do a little Google Translate.
Yeah, we're gonna have to fact check the names we get for sure.
We don't want to actually say any slurs or anything.
Hey, Trevor really says he's got one. Trevor, go ahead.
Kind of put me on the spot here. I don't know.
Trevor, you said you had one. What do you mean?
No, I didn't. Okay. I don't even know what we're talking.
Let's get to the guessing game and we'll get out of here. No points last week. Is that what I read? Yeah, no points. Jack is still in first with 5.
I am the Hebrew goal.
No.
Yeah. If anyone, it would have been Jack. He would have been up to 7.
Could you imagine if I guessed the Hebert goal and got it right?
And he got one in the 91st.
Whoa.
That's something I forgot to mention in our when we were talking about the San Diego game. Something me and Jack noticed. And we listened to the local broadcast, weren't we, Jack? They kept calling Hartel Cello.
Yeah.
Yeah, they call him that.
That's his nickname? I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I'd never heard it my entire life.
No, they've definitely posted about him multiple times with like the like emoji or minutes to figure out
who they were talking about.
Yeah, I thought Celio was why? On the field at one point. I was like, is he on the field?
I've never heard that.
And I don't know why, but they've definitely called him that for a while.
Even on the radio broadcast?
Yeah. I saw you erasing my goal score. I was like, what the hell?
Well, I've never heard them. I've never heard or seen that, but I'm not on social media, so.
Well, speaking of him, I've got him having a big performance. I had a Leuven goal scorer, but I'm a little nervous about his availability, so I'm going to play it safe, and I'm going to go 2-0 City. We will not predict a loss to Kansas ever. I know I predict a lot of losses, but against them, I never will. 2-0 City, Hartel man of the match, Hartel goal scorer. He's going to have a coming out party Wednesday night.
It is like 30th appearance.
Hey, some people pick it up a little faster than others. It's ups and downs. Just start a trend back upwards. You have a big game. Just...
No Zielinski. Upwards. My pick, 1-0 City. I got Celio getting back on the score sheet. Been a while since we've seen that.
I like that.
Love to see it. And obviously, if Celio scores, Celio gets man of the match.
I'll stick with the positivity. I have, for the first time since the LA Galaxy game, a 3-goal performance from City. 3-1 victory. And I think this is one of those games where City finally dominates and we don't have as many questions as we did because they're starting to get some of their players back and we finally see a good performance from the offense consistently throughout the full 90. My goal scorer is Klaus. I think he gets 1 for sure, if not 2. And I think he gets man of the match.
Klaus scores, Klaus gets man of the match. That's just in the Bible at this point. I'm my normal positive self. I like to think of myself as the glass half full guy of the podcast. And I think it's time that the dam officially breaks. And City officially converts their chances. 3-0, all caps. And I've got Silva scoring a goal. Because I think that guy is going to be a stud once he gets going. So that's what I've got.
I like the Silva goal scorer. I do want to talk about the edit that you made.
Oh, I've got Leuven as my man of the match.
Was more talking the score. I noticed. Yeah, you kind of
talked over me. I wasn't done yet. I had all the things prepared.
Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry. Cut it and start over.
Yeah, you know, I did edit it. I had it at 3-2, and then I remembered that Lunt's not in goal. And so I made it 3-0.
I was going to say, Trevor is the only one who thinks Burke's going to give up his first goal of the season.
Our defense has been so good all year, but I do think they get leaky with one. And it seems like every time we play KC, there's goals to be had, no matter how bad both teams are doing.
All right, boys. Well, that about does it. I mean, do we have any other statements we want on the record? Any thoughts about the game?
I'd like to give one statement out to our city brethren to keep their heads up high. There's this great, wonderful account on X that you should follow. It's at Chat City Tactics. They're unrelated to the podcast.
Yeah, they are.
They put out this huge post today. I just want to read part of it. Since March 22nd, City has played every single game with at most 6 out of 11 of their preferred starting lineup out. They have played 3 of their 12 games with at least 8 out of the 11 of their preferred starting lineup. And in those 3 games, they have 7 points. So in the other 9, they only have 3. So it's just, you know, we got to get through this injury patch. And then we could start getting points. And maybe we go on a heater. Maybe we can sneak our way into the playoffs. It's just keep your head up high. No Olaf out. No Lutz out.
Yeah, we got to talk about that. I saw some people saying on X that...
We're out of time. Okay, we'll talk about it next time.
We'll have to talk about it next time. If they lose, he might...
Yeah.
He might be getting a little hot. My seat might be getting a little hot, but we'll see. We'll be back after the midweek clash to talk it over, good or bad. Hopefully good. I have a feeling it's going to be good. But till then, we will talk to you later, and let's go, City.